again tonight on some things we need in times like these. Now, this passage of Scripture that I read and you're hearing tonight, I feel like is talking about the second coming of the Lord when He's going to come. And so He said, likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Then He said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And so we're living in the end time. I believe that. I believe we're in a time of a money crisis, mental crisis, moral crisis. We're in a time of great sin, great sorrow, great selfishness. We're in a time when the suicide rate is growing by leaps and bounds. And we're in a world with a nervous breakdown, so to speak. And a lot of people don't know which way to turn. One man said to me a while back, said, preacher, it's really looking bad, isn't it? I said, it's according to which way you're looking. If you're looking around, it's looking bad. And if you're looking back, it's looking worse. But if you're looking up, it's looking pretty good. Amen. Jesus said, lift up your head and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're in that time right now. In 2 Timothy 4, 3, the Bible said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're in that time now. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-makers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good. He said they'd be traitors, heavy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he said, from such turn away. We're in that hour now. People, my friend, will go to a ball game and drive by the revival. Say amen right there. You can get 90,000 in a ball stadium on the Lord's Day, and you do good to get 90 in the house of God on Sunday night. Amen. I know I'm not against you having some fun. I'm not against you having some relaxation. But I'm against you being lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's what that Bible's talking about. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We're in a pleasure-mad age now. That's the truth. We're living in a time now when people, my friend, have just gone pleasure-mad. But what we need to do is fall in love again with the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled up with the Spirit of God. So the things we need in times like these. First of all, we need the Son of God to save us. I'm glad He's the Savior, aren't you? We need the Son of God to save us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad He's an all-sufficient Savior? Oh, you don't have to look any further. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Over 27 and a half years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, washed me in His blood, made me a new creature by His power. I've never got over it yet. Amen. I praise God. The Bible said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen you love, though now you see Him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. One fellow said, well, I don't feel nothing. I said, well, you may not have nothing. Amen. A lot of folks don't feel it. I have a lot of people that tell me, they say, well, I'm not your emotional type preacher. I said, what are you doing jumping up and down the ball game then? Amen. Oh, a lot of people today only place their quiet at the church house. Now, when I tell you right now, brother, it ain't not the devil's business if we lift up our hands and holler, glory to God. Hallelujah to God and the Lamb. Praise the Lord. One woman said, that loud screaming makes me nervous. I said, it's what I'm screaming about that makes you nervous. Amen. When I go to screaming about old time conviction and being born of the Spirit of God, holy living, and living separated and dedicated and sanctified, a lot of folks get nervous when the preacher start talking like that. In times like these, when the world is in a nervous breakdown, when many people don't know what to do, you need the Son of God to save you. Praise God, He wills it. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. See, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm glad, brother, that he's still alive tonight. Yeah. He didn't stay dead, but he got up the third and the fourth morning. Praise God. I'm glad, brother, that he loosed the pains of death and was raised with the power of God. Appeared by many infallible proofs to be the Son of God with power. I'm glad after 40 days he was assembled together with his followers, his disciples. He gave them commission. While he talked to them, a gravity lost its hold as Jesus soared away into heaven, and he's still alive tonight. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, begin verse 4, that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm here to preach Christ and him crucified. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm glad he's an all-sufficient Savior. If you all come to him, you can get saved all the way saved. I was a preaching one time in a Methodist church, and God bless you if you're a Methodist. I'm not throwing off on you. I just want to tell this. This preacher asked me, said, I suppose you just believe in one mode of baptism. I said, oh, no, I believe in all three modes. Sprinkling, pouring, and immersion. He said, I don't understand what you mean, preacher. I said, it's according to how you get saved. If you get saved in spots, sprinkle them. Get saved in streets, pour them. You get saved all over, bury them. Amen. I said, the Lord saved me all over. I wanted to get buried. Amen. Yes, sir. Baptism is not regeneration, it's identification. It's being identified with Christ that you believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again. That God's done something in your heart by his wonderful power, and you follow him in baptism. Amen. In times like these, you need the Son of God to save us. Then not only that, but we need the Spirit of God to lead us. A lot of folks don't know which way they're going. I tell folks they like a neon light. They just on and off. Yeah. And these church members say, you know, the in and out and will and want and can and can't and cold and hot. And you know, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 3, he said, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. Somebody said, what kind of a condition is that? I said, that's too hot to be cold, too cold to be hot. Amen. You just can't never tell. You see, one fellow accused me. He said, you're an extremist, Brother Mitchell. I said, God's an extremist. He said, I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because that lukewarm and either cold or hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. And so I believe you ought to get in all over.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You need the Spirit of God to lead you in this day. The Bible said in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And God's not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and the Spirit of death bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you can tell all the charismatics that the Bible said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. No such thing as you getting saved today and not getting the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Them fellas wouldn't know the gospel if they met about you on the interstate.
That's right.
You say, well, you oughtn't to say something about them. Why oughtn't I to say something about them? Amen. I ought to tell you, brother, anybody that's got high sense knows that you couldn't get saved unless the Holy Ghost brought you. Jesus said in John 6:44 and 45, no man can come to me except the Father shall set me draw him. I will raise him up the last day. It is written, the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. He therefore that hath heard the line of the Father, he's the one comes to me. And the Bible tells us that when we're born again, we're born to the Spirit of God. And then Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in your heart to direct you, to lead you and guide you, you need to get saved by the grace of God. Wow, don't the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 12:13, from one spirit Are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit? The new birth is a spiritual birth. When the Spirit of God births you, according to Ephesians chapter 1, after you hear the gospel of your salvation, you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you trusted Him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Oh, I tell you, God moves in to everyone that He birthed in this family, in the person of the Holy Spirit, and seals him in Jesus Christ until the day of redemption. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. You say, well, such and such is a good fellow. He don't preach it like that. But my question is, what's he good for? Good for nothing, amen. I don't think I'm the only fellow preaching the truth. I don't think that. I'm not saying, I'm not being a smart aleck. But I'm saying to you, anybody tells you can get saved, not get the Holy Ghost, don't know nothing about salvation. They don't know nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, it takes the Holy Ghost to put this word of God in your heart. Look at it in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Does the Bible say that?
Yes.
That gospel's got to come in power before you ever believe it.
Yes.
It brings faith with it. The Holy Spirit, see, this is the seed. This is the written word. James 1:18, of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Therefore, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In verse 24, he said, wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted, inrooted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, this word of God sown in the heart, and it's germinated by the Holy Spirit, and repentance and faith is wrought in that heart, which produces a new birth, and the new birth produces the original word, which is the living word, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not corruptible seed, but the incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Don't you believe this is God's word? Well, if it's God's word, it's a spiritual word. Amen? All we can get in there, the Holy Spirit, put it in there. Ain't that right? In this age of confusion, in this age of ecumenicalism.
Yeah, come on.
I'm going to preach this a minute on that. They say everybody get together. They preach lovey-dovey. Lovey-dovey. Amen. I believe God's love, but I don't believe that's all God is. I'm not told to go hug the devil's neck.
Amen.
Well, you better look in the first chapter of Titus, and he gives the qualifications for an elder there. And in verse 9, he said that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, for there are many unruly and vain talkers whose mouths must be stopped. The only way you can stop their mouth is with the word of God preached in the power of God. It'll stop your mouth. I never forget when the gospel stopped my mouth. As long as I was arguing with the preacher, I wasn't about to get saved. As long as I was arguing with the church, I wasn't about to get saved. But when God turned the looking glass of his law upon me and stopped my mouth, and I become guilty before God, it wasn't long till I got saved. As long as you argue, you ain't in a million miles of getting saved. I thought I'd just put that in for good measure. I'm a feeling that power tonight. In times like these, we need the Spirit of God to lead us. Not only that, but we need the Scriptures of God to establish us in these days. Oh, the Bible wants us and tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, the last verse, to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Word of God said in Ephesians 4:11 that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. I want to tell you something. This gospel will bring the children of God. It'll edify the children of God. It will establish the children of God. I'm talking about the real Word of God. Boy,
yeah.
Well, I tell you, I'm not even talking about the new King James. I haven't got any confidence in any preacher either the perverted version of the Bible. I haven't got any confidence in anybody that's got any confidence in the preacher that uses one. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul said to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. For all Scripture is given inspiration of God, and it's possible for doctrine. Somebody said, I don't believe in preaching doctrine. You can't preach and not preach doctrine.
Amen.
You can't even talk and not talk doctrine. You either talk sound doctrine or unsound doctrine. The first thing the Scripture is proper for is doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or completely furnished unto every good work. And then in chapter 4 and verse 1 he said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in the kingdom, preach the word. I want to tell you, the word of God will do it. If the word of God don't do it, forget your ice cream parties and chicken dinners, and forget your hay rides and your movies, and forget your outings. The gospel of Jesus Christ will do the job.
Amen.
Wow, listen what Peter said in 2 Peter 1, 16. He said, for we not followed cunningly devised fables, when they made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were with him in the Holy Mount. We have the voice and the excellent glory saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But he said, wait, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, that they shall rise in your heart, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. That is, you don't take a verse out, or a context out, and make a doctrine out of it. I was in a home a while back, and we was talking. For instance, we were talking on the tongues movement, and I was trying to explain what the Bible teaches about tongues. This woman said, I don't believe what you're saying. She said, you know, the Bible speaks of tongues. I said, I know it. It speaks of walking on the water. Can you walk on the water? I said, it speaks of raising the dead. Can you raise the dead? He speaks of, you shall take up serpents. Do you take up serpents? See, this Bible said in Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. However, I need not be ashamed rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't get the dispensation in rightful order, you don't get the Jew and the Gentile and the church in rightful order, you've got a book of confusion. Everybody else in heresy doctrine has a context of truth out of context.
Yeah.
And misapplies it where it's not even talking about. Amen. Anytime you hear any preacher, now I'm not being smart, but God wants me to say this. Anytime you hear any preacher exalt one attribute of God above another, you can write him off as a heretic. Anytime you hear any preacher exalt one gift above another, and tell you got to have a certain gift to prove that you've got a certain thing in you, you can write him off as a heretic. We're supposed to write and divide this truth. The only way you can write and divide it is to have its author. If you don't have the author of this book, no telling who you'll follow and where you'll go. Because Jesus said, many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Everybody's going to be deceived, and even some Christians, listen to me, some Christians are going to be deceived because they'd rather watch TV as read the Bible. They will not study the Scriptures to find out what it says, and they're fooled by emotionalism or slick tongues or some kind of music. That's pretty stout preaching. I hope you can take it, but it is so. We need the Scriptures of God in these days. Thy word have I hid in the heart that I might not sin against thee. If you'll stay with a man that'll tell you the truth, and you'll open your mind and read the word of God and see if he's telling you the truth, the first thing you know, the devil don't have a chance of blowing you away. That we be no more cheer and tossed to and fro by the slide of men with every wind of doctrine. God wants us to get straight and stay straight.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I could preach on that a while, but that's not a bad thing. That's kind of a pastoral message, but I want to put that in. We need that. Every unestablished Christian is a candidate for the charismatic movement. Because they deal on tangible things. They talk about faith.
Man.
You don't ever hear them preach on repentance.
No, right.
They preach on faith and miracles. putting your hand on the radio for a point of contact.
Yeah.
I told one fellow, I said, if you get down behind the radio and them wires, you'll really get back. Who ever heard of a radio being a point of contact? Who ever heard of a TV being a point of contact? The blood's a point of contact.
Amen.
If you want to contact God, you've got to get to the blood. Boy, let me preach on that a minute. You know what that produces?
Amen.
Now I'm going to try to help you here again.
Go ahead.
You know what it produces for a miracle man to come along? It produces man worship.
That's right, man.
Yes.
They make you believe that they're on a higher plane with God than you are.
Yes, right.
If you can just get to me, I'll be your Moses.
Lord.
You better read that Bible. The Bible said that you're a royal priesthood, all of you. Nobody saved has any more right to God's throne than you do. He's broke down the middle on a petition. The way of the people have been went in twain. And the Spirit of God has given you access through the blood of Jesus Christ right into where God lives. I don't care if a man's been saved 75 years. You've been saved 75 seconds. You've got as much right to where God lives as that man has. We're royal priesthood. Christ is the only high priest. These fellows are dressing like mamas and calling themselves papas is not priests. Driving them long black robes and turning their collar around backwards. That's abomination in the sight of God. One fellow said, I wouldn't have said that if I was you. I said, I know what you're afraid to, but I'm not. Amen. I'm going to tell you, God takes all the man fear away. There's just one high priest, and we're all the royal priesthood. Now let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Every one of you. Now, certainly you need the prayers of the saints of God. There are some folks that's got more faith, and a lot of times you can get the elders together, and they can pray the prayer of faith. But look here, nobody's on a higher plane than you are with God. If we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that makes us equal. Now, there's Christians that's matured more than you have. There's Christians that knows more that could tell you something, maybe. There's people that could tell me something. I'm still going to school, and I need knowing. A lot of people help me. I'm not saying that we're not all equal in knowledge and wisdom and dedication, but we're all equal as sons and daughters of God. What I'm saying is, God will forgive you as quick as he will me. God will ask your prayer as quick as he will mine if you'll confess and repent and believe it. Is that right? What I'm trying to say, all this healing line miracle stuff produces man worship. One fella on the radio said he was having terrible financial problems with his radio broadcast. And he said, I got to have somebody write me. Said, I want so many hundred people to write and send me $25 a piece. And said, I've got this anointed cloth here. And said, I'm going to send it to you and you can put it in your bill for a person. You'll never have more financial problems. I said, reckon why he don't use it. Amen. If it was any good, so much looks like he'd use it, don't it? Amen. Oh, I know. Some folks can't ought to take that. They some people just can't ought to stand to this book. One bill said, I say my opinion. I said, God's not much interested in your opinion. He just wants this book there. Now, I'll let know. I've been saved long enough to know. I've been saved long enough to know that this will make you happy. See, the gospel, preaching the gospel is one of two things. It'll draw you to the preacher or turn you against him all the way. You can't say anything. See, before you get out of here tonight, you've got to take sides. Oh, I never let you come and leave just like you come. You've got to take sides. You read that book of Acts, them apostles pressed the point till people took sides. They didn't go along soothing people down and giving book reviews and talking how sweet everybody is. They preached the Lordship of Jesus Christ and demanded men to come under subjection and take sides with God and his word. Or you got to take sides with them outside that said, we don't want that book, and we won't have this man rule over us. You can't be neutral.
No, sir.
I've already took sides now.
I have
too. Amen. Already took sides. I'm going to go with this Bible.
Yeah.
Best of my ability. I'm going to stay with it.
Amen.
One brother said, you don't have no place to preach long either. I said, I'm not going to need no place long. He's going to come after me before long. I'm not worried about that. In fact, I never have heard for a place to preach yet. No way. Another thing we need is the supply of God to sustain us in this day. God will supply our need, aren't you glad? Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus the Lord. And he's not about to go broke. One fellow asked me a while back when we was in that recession. He said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to stand on the Word of God. Amen. We're not going to worry. We're not going to worry. I said, well, what about the economy? I said, God knows what's going on down here. He's able to take care of us. Well, when I first started preaching full time, there's a fellow told me, he said, I'll tell you right now, preacher, he said, little church you go to, says you'll starve out. I said, why, if God can take care of all them thousands of Jews and feed them on manna from heaven for 4 years, you think he couldn't take care of me anymore than I eat? Well, a lot of folks, you know, they think God's about to go broke. Ain't that awful? God's not about to go broke. No, sir, God's going to supply our need. Look here, he supplied a preacher's need one time, had a raven to take him a sandwich. The famine is on. Elijah had God on him, said, move down to the brook. And God supplied his need with a raven. And when the brook dried up, he said, go right on the cross, right over yonder. Said, I've prepared a widow woman to sustain you. Of all people, a widow woman. Look like he'd have picked out a rich merchant. Look like he'd have picked out somebody that had a lot of stuff stored away, a rich farmer. Instead of that, he picked out a widow woman with no food stamps, no SSI, no Social Security, and no handouts at all. Just a widow woman that just had one little bit of meal in the cruise, in the barrel, and one little bit of oil in the cruise, and she was out there getting a fix. You know, it's kind of amazing how she happened to be out there just as Elijah walked up. Have you ever noticed God always fix things just right? Elijah said, fix me a glass of water. Bring me some water. She started getting some water. He said, I'm a little bit hungry. Bring me a cake of bread. She said, oh, I just got one little bit of meal and one little bit of oil, and I just got one son. We've run out of everything. I was going to cook that for him and me, and we're going to eat that together, our farewell meal. And we're just going to die together. Elijah said, just go ahead and do what I tell you. Everything's going to be all right. Why, don't you know why she's in that cook stove? It's probably one of them little old tiny cook stoves like my grandma used to have. One of them times you got an eye, we used to call it an eye on the top, you know. You take that eye, or you can open that front door, either one, put that wood in. Some of you young folks don't know what I'm talking about. And she fixed that last bit of meal. Don't you know the devil got right up on her shoulder and said, if you give that to that old preacher, you're going to starve to death. Don't you know the devil tried to get it out there, but she just wanted, I think it took about as much faith to fix that one little bit of meal for that preacher as it took to build the ark across the Red Sea. Amen. But here's what I want to tell you. She gave it to the preacher. She went back over to the meal barrel, and there's meal in the barrel. She went back over to all crews, and there's all in the crews. Yeah. The next day, she went back over to the meal barrel, and there's meal in the barrel. Yeah. And she went back over to all crews, and there's all in the crews. One fellow said to me, he said, where do you think it come from? I said, none of your business. If God didn't want you to know, he'd have told you. Yeah. It didn't stain God a bit to put the meal in the barrel. It didn't stain God a bit. In fact, I know a preacher friend of mine, I know he's truthful. I know it's truthful. And that's fixed back in his day in the Depression time. He said, we didn't have nothing. Didn't have nothing. And I mean nothing. Didn't have clothes, hardly to wear. He said, I didn't have no shoes. And revival time was coming. They had 2 weeks revival. He said, I wanted to go so bad that I went away around in the woods and got on my knees and said, Lord, if you could, if you would, please. Said, just supply me away and get me a pair of pants and a shirt and a pair of shoes. I sure would like to attend that revival every service. He said, I prayed around there a lot, thought I really got through. He said, I started back around to come back a different way they went. And he said, I sat down on the hillside, and I thought I seen a bunch of gnats. And he said, I looked closer, and it was bees. Bees in a bee tree. And he said, the only tree I ever seen in my life, well, there's two hives of bees in the same tree. And he said, I went home and told my daddy about it. He said, your daddy said, his daddy said, oh, no. Said, Ralph, that can't be so. Said, they're not too high. Said, oh, yes. Said, there's daddy. And he went back around and took him to it the next morning. They took the axe and the saw and everything. And he told me how much honey they got out of that tree. They cut it. And he took it over to the coal mining camp and sold the honey and got $11. Out of that honey. He said, I got enough money out of that honey to buy me a shirt and a pair of pants and a pair of shoes and to buy my mama a dress and a pair of shoes. And me and my mama went to revival 2 weeks. Amen. You say, I just don't believe it. That's yourself. I believe that. I believe God. I believe God can supply your need any way he needs to and wants to. He can do it. We need the supply of God now to sustain us. Not only that, but we need the saints of God to fellowship with us.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I love this fellowship. I feel sorry for some folks. I think the most miserable time they put up from 10 to 12 on Sunday. I feel sorry for them. They just barely can make it on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And they ain't no way they can make it back on Sunday night.
No.
I go to some churches where they'll have 300 on Sunday morning, and they won't have 30 on Sunday night. We live in an age now where people think if they give God 2 hours out of 168 hours, that the preacher ought to pat them on the back and tell them how sweet they are. I tell you mighty fast, you're not in fellowship with God. You're not right with God nor the church. If you can't be faithful to Sunday night service, if you're able to get there, amen, it's going to take more than a toe ache or a headache to keep you away. If you can take a couple of Andersons and go to work, you ought to take a couple and come on to church.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to tell you right now, if you love God as much as you love yourself, and you ought to love Him a whole lot more, you'd be coming in singing Amazing Grace about 6 o'clock Sunday night. Amen. And you'd even try to make it back on Wednesday night. Say amen. Yes, sir. You need the saints of God. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You don't need to come to stir up trouble. You need to come to provoke to love and to good work. Edify one another. Yes, I can only make it without the saints of God. I mean, I go to church almost every night, and I don't ever get tired of going to church. Every service is new. All of them's not real high. Some of them's low. Some of them's in the middle. Some of them's going downhill. Some of them's going uphill. Some of them's on the mountaintop. Some folks can't even stand the cold service. I don't know what they would do if they had to have a little persecution. Do you? I've seen people that one cold service would freeze them out. They wouldn't even come back to revival. If the devil, hollered boom, it scared them death. I don't know what we're going to do. Praise God, we're going to stand fast in the liberty of what Christ has made us free and be not again entangled with yoke of bondage. We ought to be able to walk by faith a few days. In fact, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, yet a little while he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Then he said, the just shall live by faith. Amen. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back. We're not of them that draw back. But we're on the tradition, but we're them that believe to the saving of the soul. We just keep on believing. Amen. If the Lord said he's going to be with me all the way, I believe that. He didn't tell me it's going to be easy all the way. He didn't tell me I was going to shout all the way. In fact, when Abraham took Isaac and went to Mount Moriah, I don't think they shout went up the mountain. I think as they went up the mountain, Abraham's heart was very heavy. In fact, I don't think he even told Sarah that he was going to take Isaac and offer him. I think if he had, he'd have tried to talk him out of it. I don't think they shouted going up the mountain. But I think when the ram was caught and took his place, they shouted coming off the mountain. Amen. Oh, he named that place Jehovah Jireh. You know what that means, don't you? God will provide.
Yes.
God will. Did you know somebody told me it was on that same mountain where God provided our lamb?
That's right, yeah. Well, sure.
Yeah. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, God. See, Abraham said, son, my God will provide himself a lamb.
Right.
Not for himself, but it provides himself. That's what God done. He come down here where we're at in the body. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And so that's another thing we need, the soon coming of Christ to get us out of this mess. And he's going to come after us. You say he's coming after them that's looking for him. You say he's looking for him, them that's living for him. You say I ain't living for him, but you ain't looking for him. Oh, if you were looking for him, you'd be living for him. You know, you couldn't tell me the bill of goods if you're looking for him to come and not living for him. You say, well, you believe we're perfect? No. I don't think Paul was perfect. I think he's as close as he could come to it. But he hadn't apprehended that what he was apprehended to apprehend yet. He understood he still had problems. Ain't that right? But he could truthfully say, our conversation is in heaven. From which we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto his own glorious body by the working of his mighty power. See, Paul had that blessed hope. He was ready to be offered. He knew it was better over there. He was looking for the Lord to come. And we need that. You know, you've got to have that blessed hope. The only people that's happy in this world is them that's looking for the Lord. I'm not splitting hairs over the doctrinal part of it. I think there's a lot of folks that saved as you and me that would disagree with us doctrinally.
Yes, sir.
We should not just believe a doctrine. We should believe a reality. He's coming again. He was once offered to bear the sin of men, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking for him? The Lord himself going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. And the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3 that you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ through his life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory.
Amen.
Are you looking for him to come?
Yes.
Are you saved?
Amen.
Has the Son of God ever saved you?
Yes.
If you're saved at all, he saves you.
Amen.
He's the only Savior.
Amen.
I see multitudes of people ask him a point blank question. Are you saved? I have all the time. I've been baptized.
Yes, sir. That's true.
Not too long ago, we was in a nursing home visiting. This dear man is there, and his wife takes care of him. And she called us, wanted to come over, me and another preacher and me. We went over there. Of course, he didn't know anything. He had some kind of brain disease. And she was there taking care of him, you know. And I said, well, are you saved? To her. And she said, well, preacher, I wouldn't say I'm saved, said I'm doing the best I can.
Oh.
I said, oh, you don't understand. You're not saved by doing the best you can.
Right.
You know, if that would be true, I'd just go around and tell everybody, do the best you can, do the best you can, do the best you can. But the best you can do ain't worth 2 cents.
Amen.
The best you can do is awful bad.
Amen.
It took something God had to do to save you. Salvation by grace. We're doing what we're doing not to be saved and not the way we get to judgment to see if we're saved. We're doing that because we are saved. Well, read it in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm almost there. Verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear. Again, a lot of folks, you know, they take that verse out of context and say salvation by works. They'll never read the next verse. It says, for it is God which worketh in you.
Yes.
So before you can work it out, he has to work it in.
Amen.
When he works it in, and you work it out.
Right.
It's God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. See, when you get saved, you get born of the will of God.
Amen.
And God's will in you is to do the will of God.
Right.
So we're living right because we've been made right.
Yeah. Right.
We're not reached the state of perfection.
Right.
We're going, we should be going unto.
Yeah. Right. Come on,
I think all of us could do better than we do.
Amen.
Don't you think so?
Amen.
No, if you look like that and deny that, you deny that.
Amen.
You know, you're not doing the best you can.
Amen.
You could probably do better.
Amen.
Very short time in my life I've ever done the best I could. Maybe a few hours since I've been saved. I try to do the best I can when I preach. But you're not saved by what you do. Salvation is by grace. Grace is God's mercy bestowed upon a hell-deserving rebel with nothing, expecting nothing in return. You're not even saved by your promising. I've heard preachers ask people trying to get saved, they said, you promised God you'd live for it. You're not saved on your promise. The thief couldn't promise him he's going to live for him because he's fixing to die. He couldn't even promise him he'd be baptized or die in the church. Ain't that right? He didn't make no promise. You're not saved with your promise. Because about all the promises you ever make, you break anyway. Ain't that about right? Oh, back when I used to pastor, somebody would come, we'd have a good high meeting, and they'd walk down the aisle. Praise God, preacher, this is the church we're looking for. We've been awaiting on this kind of church just because, you know, they'd join, you know, maybe I'd baptize them again. And the first time I got up there and preached hellfire, brimstone, fucking lightning, they felt led to leave. See what I mean? Oh, God, heaven. I'm talking about you're saved by grace through faith, and faith is not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Everything about salvation is a gift. Then you're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. This is that verse in which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. So, as a good old hyper-Calvinist friend, he called me one day. I hope you know what that is. And he called me one day, and I knew he was really heavy on predestination and election, you know. Now, I believe the Bible doctrine of election and predestination.
Yes, sir.
I believe what it says about it.
Yes,
I don't shun to preach that as well as I do whosoever will. I believe both of them. But this fella called and I thought I'd have a little fun. I said, "Hey, did you know everything God ordained ain't coming to pass?" He said, "What'd you say?" I said, "Everything God ordained is not coming to pass." He said, "I don't understand what you mean, Brother Mitchell." I said, "I mean God ordained that we should walk in good works and most of us don't." God ordained that they that preach the gospel should live up to the gospel. Most of them don't. Ain't that right? We should walk in good works. We should. And if it don't, you get took to the woodshed. God chastens those that he loves. Scourgeth every son that he receiveth. One fellow said to me, "Said, I received Jesus." I said, "Did he receive you?"
Amen, brother.
I said, "If he receives you, you ain't getting by with nothing." Everyone that he receives, he corrects, chastens, scourges. Every son that he receives. And if any is without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, illegitimate children. See, what most people forget is that there's a birth when the bastard's born. Born in religion. Born illegal. Does not have a legal father. Therefore, can do anything he wants to and not feel bad about it. And the first time the preacher preaches against about what he's doing, he raises up in rebellion.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't have a legal father. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You say, "How do you know you're saved, Brother Mitchell?" The main way I know I'm saved is God will not let me alone.
Yeah.
If God would let me alone, I'd know I'm saved.
Amen.
Nobody saved that God don't chasten.
That's right.
His Bible said so.
Amen.
If you can cuss, drink whiskey, go to the show, shoot dice and play poker, commit all kind of sin around the church, and God don't bother you, you need to get saved. The quicker you do it, the better off you'll be. Isn't that right? You say, "Well, I made profession once." That don't count. That don't count. That don't count. Profession don't count. Almost everybody made profession. That isn't going to keep you out of hell. The only way you're going to miss hell for Jesus Christ to be in you. You ain't going to live like hell and go to heaven when you die. There ain't no way. God's not in the business of making men holy after they die. He makes men holy now. Read that 12th chapter of Hebrews. "No chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness." God will make you stand at attention and say, "Yes, sir," if you're his boy. See, I must say this, and then I promise I'm through. I don't know how in the world I got up on that chastisement. I didn't get up on it. Chastisement, not you turn around slapping the child and tell him, "Shut up." That's not chastisement. Chastisement is you breaking his will. Bringing him under subjection. Doing it in love, like God does to us. Thank God they won't you slapping on no child. Because the child connects the discipline to whatever it's disciplined with. If you hit it with your hand, he'll raise up in rebellion against you. If you hit it with a rod, he'll hate the rod instead of you. God said use a rod instead of use your hand. And he gave you a place to use it. Didn't tell you to slap a child upside the head. That's not the way God corrects us. He used a rod. Now, look here. See, most people lie to their children over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Time they're 12, they're cussing their mom and daddy out.
Hello, brother.
Because they never have made, you know, I can tell, and I say this humbly and sincerely, and I'm not trying to be smart. But if I church here 4 or 5 times, every child that's from 2 years old up, I can tell who's made mad at home. If you don't correct them at home, they'll show you up when you get in public. I've had people tell me, "I can't make my child do nothing at church." I often say, "You can't at home either." He'll mind you at home. He'll mind you when you get to church. One fellow asked me one time, my boy was 2 years old, and he stepped through a 2-hour service and didn't move. He said, "How do you get that boy to behave so at church?" I said, "Well, I got a little thing out there. I ain't no longer than that. Take care of everything." You say you hate your children. I never get to speak my children. You called my children out. They'll tell you I never get hurt neither one of them very bad. See, let me show you something. If a child's will is not broke under parental authority, and learn that there's a voice of authority over him home, he'll ask in the preacher's place and get to church. Gospel won't have no effect on him. Chastening is bringing him under subjection to do